All right. Go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 1, or look at the very top of your outline there. We're going to read verse 21 of Philippians chapter 1. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And I want to take some time tonight to think about this verse, because I'd like to talk about how the saved see death. And this verse gives us a little bit of a clue and maybe even a way to categorize how the saved see death in the Bible. You know, saved people actually die. And we talked about when that occurs recently in a lesson. It was called When We Die. We've also talked about before in 2020 when Christians die and how to think about death. And so this lesson also is a reminder about how we should think about death as saved people in the body of Christ. Amen. Recently, our brother Jim Allman died and was promoted to glory. That's how we say it around here, promoted to glory. Amen. So I wanted to remind us of how we think about death, and when we believe the Bible, what it says about those that die and our own death. And when we talk about this subject to the folks that don't believe the Bible or to the folks that are confused about what the Bible says, they'll either think that we're crazy or they'll think that we're belittling the severity of death, because there is a loss there. You don't see the person again. And certainly it's serious in the case of the unsaved. A death is very serious because there is no hope outside of God for eternal life. So the question is that we should all be asking ourselves, what do you feel when a Christian dies? And you can immediately think of many feelings that arise when someone dies: sadness, a loss, a yearning for that person to hear their voice again, to see them again, to interact with them again. But what my lesson is about tonight is to think about those feelings and really apply what we know from the Bible about what the Bible says death is, and then consider them again and think, are they really, according to the truth we know, justified feelings? Are they just our flesh feeling something that maybe is blinding us to the truth about what death really is? And so if only you feel sadness when a Christian dies, and I'm talking about exclusively Christians here tonight, not unsaved, because certainly there is a loss when an unsaved soul dies. But when Christians die, if all you feel is sadness, then perhaps a change of perspective is in order. Amen. After all, God himself in Psalms chapter 116 in verse 15, if you'd turn there. Psalms 116 verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious? What, isn't it sad? Isn't it a loss? Isn't it terrible that someone should die? After all, certainly God doesn't take pleasure in death, right? Well, here we see a verse that says, when a saint dies, that death is precious to the Lord. And we have to ask ourselves, if it's precious to the Lord, then is it precious to us as well? If the Bible is true about what it says death is, then when a saved person dies, that day of that person's death is the best day of their life. Amen. We say that regularly around here. That sounds crazy. Their death is the best day of their life. If the Bible and what it says about death is true, then saying, I love you, please drop dead, to a saint, a saved Christian, is a wonderful encouragement to remember the hope of glory. Amen. And the mark that we all press toward. If what the Bible says about death is true, then rejoicing each day to be 24 hours closer to heaven than yesterday is a great way to set a proper perspective about every day, about your life, about the struggles, the sufferings that you encounter in this life. 24 hours closer to heaven than yesterday is always a good day. There's only one thing that's better, and that's being there. And if you've been around Sister Carol at all, you have already heard that. But those without that hope and those that are confused would look at us and saying, well, you're belittling death. You're crazy to think about death that way. When saved people die, God's word is able to comfort us. It comforts our sorrow, it brings hope of eternal life, and it removes fear of death. Amen. Take a look at Romans chapter 8. We'll start in verse 35. And in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 35, what do we read in the Bible about the love of God? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I don't think that if you believe that, allows you to fear death anymore. What fear is there if nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ? Amen. And look at 1 Thessalonians. In chapter 4, starting in verse 13, what does the Bible say about death? In verse 13, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Others which have no hope are sorrowful when someone dies. But this verse says, sorrow not. Not as the sorrow of those others that have no hope, but even sorrow not. Of course there's sorrow when someone we love dies, when a brother or sister in Christ dies. But this verse here says something that seems to be a little bit opposite of that. Sorrow not, and why? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The word of God brings comfort about death. If you take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible speaks about death often. And if the Bible's true and our perception of death is according to what the Bible says about death, then maybe some of the feelings that we have should be reconsidered. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And perhaps you've never thought about this verse when it talks about, in verse 17, the word furnished. But I would like to think about that word for just a while. When we looked at the very first verse of our lesson tonight, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, the verse says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." There's two parts to that verse, or at least the way I see it. One is to live, and the other is to die. And I want to concentrate on the to die part first here. But if the Word of God truly furnishes you, what does that mean? And here we see Paul in Philippians chapter 1 saying, to die is gain. Now, there's something about being able to say to die is gain that I think Paul communicates not only there but elsewhere, and that is his readiness to die. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, so if you just go to the next chapter, starting in verse 6, Paul says, "For I am now ready. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He's talking about his death. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul is ready to die, and that word furnished and the word ready are related. If you look up the definition of the word ready, you will see that it means to be prepared, to be able, to be willing, to be fitted or furnished or suited to a task. The Word of God truly furnishes us to be able to be ready to, and in this case, in this lesson I'm talking about, to be ready to die. Amen. Saved people die, and they're ready to die. But why are they ready to die? They're ready to die because, as Paul just said, as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, for the reward of righteousness, the fruit, the expectation, the hope, receiving that finally. And it's not by works of our righteousness, we know from Titus chapter 3, verse 5, and it's not righteousness from something that we've done, but the righteousness that comes by faith, the righteousness of God by grace, as we read about in Romans chapter 4, verse 5. Christians are ready to die because when they die, they're present with Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, the same place we pulled that first verse from, if you continue reading, in verses 23 through 24. "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul talks about death again. Take a look at verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "We are confident, I say, and willing," there's that readiness, that truly furnishment there, "willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." When we're absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. And why are we ready to die? For that reason. We're ready to die also. A saved saint is ready to die because it's a gain. It's a gain of glory, of Christ magnified. In Philippians chapter 1 again, We read verse 21, but the verse before it, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Christians are ready to die because death can magnify Christ. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, we've several times quoted this verse before here in different lessons. But Paul tells us in verse 18 of chapter 8 of Romans, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." There's glory coming. Christ is magnified, and Christians are ready to die for that reason. Christians are also ready to die because it's necessary. It's necessary for victory. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you read through that, you will learn that death is necessary for quickening or resurrection. Death is necessary to put on incorruption. Death is necessary for glory. Death is necessary for the power of God to be applied to you. Death is necessary for immortality, to get rid of the mortal. And death is necessary for victory. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19, Paul plainly states that if we have hope in this life only, we're of all men most miserable. There is no hope in just this life. So we're ready to die because death brings the glory. Death brings the victory. And Paul talks about in this chapter of 1 Corinthians, resurrection. That's his main point here. And one of my favorite verses is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, down in 54 and 55. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" And if you continue on to verse 57 there, it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ," through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Christians are ready to die for all of these reasons and more. But until death, we live. And it's not all rainbows, unicorns, bubblegum, sunshine, and roses. Sin is in the world, and it affects us all. But as the very first verse that we read tonight from Philippians says, to live is Christ. Saved people are not only ready to die, but they are willing to live. And I say that, you know, obviously we're all happy for life. We love life and we love eternal life, which only comes from God. But sometimes being willing to live here is not the type of willing like, I'm just so excited to do it. Sometimes it's like, oh, there's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some pain. And I'm going to have to get through that. Luckily, we have God's word that can help us and comfort us and truly furnish us to be willing to live. Why are Christians willing to live, though? Well, they're willing to live because by living, they can know the power of Christ. They can see Christ magnified in the glory of the cross of Christ. We read Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 already tonight, but let's read it again, and this time we're focusing on the living part, not the dying part. "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 9, Paul in this section of scripture is beseeching the Lord for the thorn in his flesh that he talks about and for a healing of that or getting rid of that. And here, Christ's answer here in verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, you can't glory in your infirmities after you die, because now you're in glory with Christ. So to live is Christ, then glorying now in your infirmities has to happen while you live. So the power of Christ, why are we willing to live as saved Christians? Because the power of Christ is working in us so that we can glory in our infirmities. And if you continue on in verse 10 there, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That doesn't sound like living is fun there. That sounds like living is not so fun. And yet Paul is willing to live. And we as Christians, saved saints of God in the body of Christ, should be willing to live for this very reason. Because when we're weak, then Christ is strong. Then the power of Christ is on us. If you take a look at Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, Paul has something to say about living. If you take a look at verses 1 through 6. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, peace with God, that's great. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That hope is the hope that we're going to have eternal life, be with Christ. That's what we get delivered when we die. And then he says in verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We not only have a hope of our eternal life, which is why we're ready to die, but also we're willing to live, and we're willing to live because of the lessons, because of what we learn, because of what happens when we suffer. So we can glory in tribulations because Christ died for the ungodly, which was us. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Now here we can glory while we live in death, which is an interesting thing to think about, because Paul says, God forbid that I glory in anything save the cross of Christ. Now, the cross of Christ is a death. And here we're getting instruction from the Bible that tells us we can glory in that death, and by that death, we are crucified to the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I don't know if I'm having you bounce back and forth here, but go ahead and take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 16. What does Paul say about living here? In verse 16, for which cause we faint not. We better look at what that cause is. Thanksgiving unto the glory of God and the gospel working in folks that even when they're facing death, they're experiencing life. And so for that cause, for which cause we faint not, But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Even though our outward man perish as we live, our inward man is renewed day by day. We're willing to live because Christ is magnified, because the glory of the cross of Christ and how that gospel works in folks to provide them life, even though they live in a present evil world. Why else are we willing to live? If you continue on there, Paul says, while in verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house made not with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Why else are saved saints willing to live? Well, because of this truth needing to be known and believed and working in other men. All men need to be saved. And when I say men, I mean men and women, which is the standard way. It talks a lot about men and women in the Bible and calls them all men. After all, Adam, Eve, and all the rest of us. So why are we willing to live? Because all men need saved. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting verse 14, take a quick look at that. In verse 14, wherefore he saith, awaketh thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Saved saints are willing to live because God has a will, and that will is that all men be saved. We often quote 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4 here, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. The fact is that death entered the world after sin, as a consequence of sin, of wicked people. And God is not pleased with the death of the wicked. If you look at Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, it says plainly, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, which is what God says. And he's talking to Israel here, obviously not in the dispensation of grace. And he says, but that, he says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And then he tells Israel to turn from your wicked ways and live. God is not pleased with the death of the wicked, and yet precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We have a ministry to do, and that ministry is defined in 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you take a look at verses 1 through 5, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that's the living, and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Christians are willing to live to do this ministry. And in doing the ministry, having done so, then like Paul, I think if we're considering all these truths from the Bible, we'll be ready to die. And as he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he continues on in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered." He's now ready. "And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Christians are thinking of death, ready to die, and willing to live. Are there any comments or questions?